Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Crossplay Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, it's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I am in a good mood today.
Me too.
Stephen, there's a lot of activity in the chat, which always gets me pumped for this thing we do every week.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of fun news that happened, like, I think just hours ago, it feels like. Like, the world knew that our show was happening tonight.
Right.
Let's give these guys some good stuff to talk about.
There was a lot of information happening all over the internet these last few days. Taylor is not with us this week. He is doing family things today. So you're just getting the OGs, the old men here to usher you on this journey. And what is this journey? Well, it's the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. It's the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice and records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams every single Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. So head over there and give a follow so you can be part of the show during the show. We like to interact with the show, with the chat at the end of the show. So be sure to do that and make sure that you tune into this very same podcast network, ladies and gentlemen, because we have the Dual Screens Podcast, an interview show where we interview developers of indie games and voice actors and all that stuff. And don't forget, the video version of this podcast posts a couple of days. Usually, I try to do 24 hours after. Sometimes I forget. Like I posted last week's yesterday on YouTube, but you go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv. When I'm not overwhelmed, it will be up there 24 hours later.
Steven.
Yes.
Can we get a little bit of YouTube channel hype going on right now? Because we've surpassed 500 subs on the channel.
We did.
And we've got like 15 more since we've hit that milestone. So it's
amazing.
It's going pretty good.
We've done it. We've hit the 500 mark. So now I think people have to sub to us if they visit the channel. Like, they're going to see 500. They're going to be like, oh, okay, click, sub. I think that's what's going to happen. At least that's what I hope. Speaking of things you could sub to, you want to support us on Patreon? It's very easy. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler, and our producer, FNH. Paul, we cannot continue to grow without all of your support. We have a metric shit ton of content going up on Patreon. We have Dungeons and Dragons games. We have the Retro Game Club. We have pre-shows. We have, guys, I posted right now in the back end of Patreon are three Dual Screens podcast episodes. Three early access Dual Screens podcast episodes. They're going to post every Monday. So you're going to hear those shows on Monday instead of that upcoming Friday. Three of them in advance, and we're actually going to have a fourth one in advance that we're going to be recording this weekend, so please be excited for that, because it's going to be fan friggin tastic. All right,
so good,
Andy. It is now time to get into the adventures in gaming.
Oh my God.
gaming. Andy, what have you been playing?
I played bullshit this week.
Oh boy.
So there's a news bit on the dock, but some Silent Hill shit that we'll get into at a later point in the show. But amongst that news bit, I had read that the the makers of Until Dawn, Supermassive Games, they had the whole anthology shit going on now.
Man of Medan.
The dark anthology.
Yes,
as it were.
What was the second one called?
Well, I'm playing that now. Little Hope.
Little Hope. That's right.
So I had read that this was initially a pitch for a new Silent Hill game that they had made to Konami, or Konami asked them, hey, do you want to do a game in this franchise? And they pitched this. And they were like, we're good. You can keep that.
Goodness.
So as I was reading on the forums about this Silent Hill news, and which we'll get into later, I kept seeing this Little Hope thing pop up, and I couldn't resist. I had to see what it was all about for myself. And oh my God, thank the Lord Jeebus that this was not a Silent Hill game. Goodness. You can tell that by looking at it, it was very much a Silent Hill prototype at some point, because I'll give you the rundown. The story starts with a car accident. Uh-huh. With a group of stranded people going to a town, and they can't escape because fog is blocking their exit. When they walk through the fog, they end up back in the town. There's monsters. There's like witchcraft, Salem witch trial shit. Yeah. There's a creepy little girl involved.
Oh, those are all.
So, yeah. This is jump scare the game.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it, and it's so annoying and jarring. It's like after the third one. Jump? No. I groan. I'm like, ah, shit again. Because the way it tells the story is the town has like some Salem witch shit ties with what's happening with the town itself.
Okay. Okay.
So every time it tries to show you what happened like years ago, this creepy ghost lady thing grabs a character by the arm and they get transported through time to show like the old days. But they're there. They're watching it happen and they can interact with the people of ye old days.
Weird.
And it's always a jump scare when this person grabs you. And it happens like every 10 minutes it feels like. And it's so annoying. And I'm like, this is just bad. Huh. Now the game looks good. It looks really good. And I'm not sure if I'm just really good at it, but no one has died yet. Because this whole thing is about their games to get to keep everyone alive,
right,
to get the true ending.
And all that stuff. Yeah,
right. So I feel like I'm making okay decisions right now because everyone's still not dead.
Are they actual like decisions? Like you have four choices, or is it like make die or duck or jump?
No, it's along with personality traits. So it's like someone will say something, you can either side with them or you can respond like quizzically or antagonistically, or you can be aggressive or be forgiving.
So it's conversational.
Right. It's like, you know, where are we? And you can respond with, how the hell should I know? Aggressive or, hey, calm down, we're going to get through this. Like polite demeanor, some shit like that. It's hard to tell how those things impact people's lives.
Right.
Like how to be being nice or a dick.
Until Dawn, it was like, you have to pass this test,
right? Like, and at least Until Dawn had that charming 80s slasher thing of it, right, which this game does not have at all. The dialogue is really weird. Like, why would you say that weird thing? I don't know. It's the writing is just bad.
That's what happens when you set out to make just like multiple incoherently unconnected little stories that they like when they don't have a cohesion. It's almost like you're getting multiple half-baked products as opposed to on the one.
It feels like the first draft of a script when you're playing it. Like no one did a second pass over. It's like, well, this should be more fleshed out, don't you think?
Was this a game jam?
We'll just make it stilted and awkward.
That's not good.
Like if you're doing it on purpose, like a David Lynch situation where like his dialogue sounds very like dreamy and it kind of makes sense in the worlds he creates. It just seems like I don't know if it's lazy or just they don't know what the fuck they're doing half the time when they're writing these things.
It also matches his atmosphere too. Like,
right. Yeah, but this feels like it's so out of place. And that with the jump scares, I can see why it got like a 5 out of 10 from IGN and it was just critically panned across the board. But,
little hope.
There's some of that too. Yeah, they go like these weird accents. Was it American I was hearing? Yes, it's American. It's just ye olde English. How do you not know what that is? Do you not live in this country? It's so stupid.
That reminds me of when I did the Crucible and in college, and which is, you know,
right,
Salem Witch. But my director inexplicably made us do a slight Gaelic accent.
Gaelic?
Yeah. Like, he wanted us to say time instead of time. Like, why? Like, Craig Kilborn. Like, no. Like,
why?
Why?
It is it
no
like
sense.
And when you're reading aloud in class?
Most of the people there could not do accents. Like, they just didn't have that talent. So it was like half the cast like was like, okay. And like the other half was like, this sounds terrible. And some people were just like, no, I'm not doing that. So like the whole show had no cohesion.
This is like when you have Halle Berry as Storm doing an accent. It's like, nah, by the third film,
and
cut it.
And the third film, it's good. Same thing with
this isn't working out. By the third act, you're all speaking in regular tongues. Like, we've dropped all the accents.
we are the twit. Forget it. Andy.
What are you playing, Steven?
So I play, I'm still working through Days Gone. I'm really enjoying that.
That's very relatable to today's news.
Indeed. enjoying that as I'm going through it. I still have no idea how far I am from the end. I feel like it's, I don't feel like it's going too long. I just feel like there's no way I can measure how far I am because it doesn't give you like all, like the, you can't see one quest line and only do that quest line. It kind of just slowly unfolds in front of you, but it's like multiple threads being that you're completing like 56%. Okay. Now 68% and now 73%. And it's like, what? Okay. Whatever. but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot. But the biggest one, Andy.
Ooh.
What's
the biggest one, Steven?
I purchased and I'm...
Oh, you made a purchase?
Nearly.
Oh,
I am
my God.
Almost at full-blown addiction.
Oh, my God. Yes. This sounds like a big one.
The Sims 4.
Holy shit.
So I had The Sims 4... already
really
on Game Pass,
really,
but for console, and I hate playing it on console, so I swapped
That just feels wrong.
Yeah, so I purchased the PC version.
There's no Game Pass on PC for that game. That's wrong.
No. Well, it's EA.
Watch it be there. You're like, fuck, maybe it is. I had no idea.
I am recreating my parents' house, complete with backyard, driveway, everything, like literally everything, including the extension.
Yeah, the new addition. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's like your blueprint, essentially.
Yes.
Problem. It should look like this when we're done building. Exactly.
The problem is, I did all of this without having anything to indicate scale. So when I started putting furniture, I was like, holy shit, I made a mansion. Like, it is... at way more than twice the size it needs to be. But I did all of the rooms individually. So now I have to, when I resize, I have to resize a little bit at a time, like make sure everything fits and then do it again and then do it again. So I'm slowly but surely resizing it to where it needs to be. Problem is, I can't get the attic spaces to have walls because when you put a roof, you can't make a room in there for some reason. I could make it one big room. And it'll work, but I can't make it two rooms. But I have done nothing as far as the story. I have done nothing with my sim. The game has been paused, and I've been building. That is all I'm doing, is building. I got a massive lot. The biggest lot, because I wasn't sure what an actual... like, it said 50 by... I think it said 50 by 100. I don't know.
Okay.
And I think my parents' lot is 60 by 40. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's just aspirations right there. You gotta tell your parents, but, like, this is what I actually want, not the thing you're offering me. So if you can get me that mansion, I really appreciate that.
But in any event, I love creating
the addiction. The addiction is real. Now, when you play, do you do the whole, I'll do all the money cheats and all the resources I can.
Yes,
great.
Yes, yes.
That's really the only way
I'm
to play
those
games.
Trying to have fun with the game. I could care less about my career, my character's career. Like,
fuck,
I just
that.
I don't care about that. I want to build the house of my dreams, but in this sense, I'm building the house of my reality. I even have my dad's shed and his gazebo in the backyard. Like, I'm like going at the pool, but I can't figure out how to get the deck around the pool because you're technically not allowed to do that.
Right.
So we're figuring it out. Maybe if I just make the deck the whole thing, I could put the pool in the deck.
That could work.
I don't know. We're going to figure it out, but I'm having fun playing, pretending I'm an architect and building, rebuilding my parents' house. It's a lot of fun. Apex Legends, haven't played a lot of it this week. This week was a almost Apex less week. I played a little bit on, I think it was Thursday. Mikey Kirsch, of course, lives in Texas and had the deep freeze, loss of power, shitty internet, all the craziness happening. So I didn't get to play with him very much. And honestly, he's my ride or die, you know, he's my bro. So if he couldn't play, I was going to be like, nah, bro, nah, fam.
This is not worth it at all.
I mean, there's plenty, like Miss Envy plays, but like, I want to play with like Mike. Like Mike is my number two, and then we have our number threes that like to rotate.
Your right hand, as it were.
It just doesn't feel like Apex without Mikey Kirsch. And for those who don't know, Apex is celebrating its second year. They're having their second anniversary little thing, and that the first couple of days the game came out is when Mikey Kirsch and I met. So our friendiversary is coincides with the Apex.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I think when I puke my mouth a little bit, it was so sweet.
But enough of that. Enough of that yes. nonsense. Andy, yes. hit us up with the indie news update. What do you got?
You know, a little game came out today called Curse of the Dead Gods.
I've heard of this one, yes.
And it's out now on Steam. And I think for some other consoles too. I can't be certain. Possibly, maybe. Don't at me. But it is already has like 3,000-ish reviews on Steam. Very positive. Wow. It is a roguelike game, and you know, coming off of Hades, I feel that is like the quintessential roguelike. Like, how can you outdo that experience? And this game being out now in early access is already doing a hell of a job to live up to and surpass Hades.
Mm.
It's out right now. It's on sale for like $18. If you even have a hint at this genre, if you, I may try it out, or if you liked Hades at all, please check this game out. It looks incredible, and I'm going to play it tonight at some point.
Nice. I look forward to your impressions. Perhaps for the site. Perhaps for YouTube.
Oh, we'll find out. Okay. That's fine. That's good.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into the dual screens report.
Gave me homework on the show.
Here we go. It's time for some news. Let's get with the hottest news of the day.
Oh boy. There's a lot of stuff.
So Sony is fucking weird.
You know, yes.
Let's just start there.
Let's just say it. It's a Tuesday. It's a random Tuesday in the week. There's nothing going on of particular note. And I just see all this stuff. It was like an interview.
Uh-huh.
And there was all this information dumped.
Yep.
That I wasn't expecting. Yep. So shall we dissect and go through all this information?
So
it's a lot.
Yes, but where I want to start.
Yes, this is you lead the ship, buddy.
Is the G, whatever it is, the GQ magazine interview.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Ryan is being interviewed by GQ. I don't know why. I think they did something with the PS5 first on GQ as well, or is that Wired? I think it was Wired.
You know what? I don't. Just a quick note on that. I don't understand when you have so many outlets who are likely dying for like a 5-minute chat with this man. You have GQ of all people.
It's weird.
Getting this huge ass scoop, but go on.
And then they do a blog post to like follow it up. Like this was calculated. Mm. They decided to do this.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, so the article goes, or the interview goes into the supply and demand issues with PS5, in which they say, yes, COVID has constrained supply of the, you know, the chips and all that stuff. But they are working on it. Then they speak about Gran Turismo 7 being delayed from 2021 to 2022. A PR person actually got on the line while Jim Ryan was interviewing to speak on that, and saying that COVID has impacted development of that game as well, and they are now pushing that to 2022. And then they ask, all right, PlayStation VR 2, the second PlayStation VR, what are we calling it at the moment? We're not calling it anything at the moment. So the obvious question is, what changed from the first headset? So now they're going right into the fact that there's a second PSVR headset. And then,
yeah.
And then they follow this up with a blog post. I don't know which one came first, but this is the thing I saw first.
Right, me too.
Then the blog post started going around. But anyway, they announced that they're working on a VR 2, which isn't coming out until next year. But it is going to have one wire, one cord that plugs into your PS5. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Then they speak about PC games coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
So releasing games on PC was something that, this is what GQ asks, on PC was something that Sony held back for a long time. Now it sounds like you're very much on that bandwagon. What changed? I think a few things changed, Jim Ryan says. We find ourselves now in early 2021 with our development studios and the games that they make in better shape and than they've ever been before, particularly from the latter half of the PS4 cycle. Our studios made some wonderful, great games. There's an opportunity to expose those great games to a wider audience and recognize the economics of game development, which are not always straightforward. The cost of making games goes up with each cycle as a caliber of IP has improved. Also, our ease of making it available to non-console owners has grown. So it's fairly straightforward decision for us to make. Then they ask, this is following on from your publishing of Horizon Zero Dawn on PC in late August. How did that go? And this was pretty interesting. We assessed the exercise in two ways. Firstly, in terms of straightforward success of the activity of publishing the game on PC, people liked it and they bought it. We also looked at it through the lens of what PlayStation community thought about it. There was no massive adverse reaction to it, which the loud people were very adverse about it, but I guess the majority people don't.
They usually are the loudest.
Right. So we will
the minority is always very vocal.
And here's the line. So we will continue to make steps in this direction.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And then, of course, they went into Days Gone cutting to PC.
Yes, Days Gone is coming to PC in the spring, which will mark its 2 year that it's been out. Its second year after being out on PlayStation exclusively. Mm-hmm. And also, they're doing the Play at Home. They're doing another Play at Home special.
Right.
Where they're giving
Ratchet and Clank.
Ratchet and Clank and Funimation.
You know, I thought that was the bulk of the news I would see today out of Sony. It was the stay-at-home crap. Here's your free game. Here's your free thing. Have a good time. Oh, it's nice. It's sweet. But then it was like a deluge. It was just like nonstop. And then this, then that, the other thing. And then, to top it off, Steve, we got a State of Play announcement at the end of the day. For like 2 days from now.
So, here's where their PlayStation, I will give them credit. Only for today's nonsense, I will give them credit on one thing. When it comes to their State of Plays, they set the expectation. They set it better than anyone. Whether the people run with it and go crazy, which they are going to do, they at least set the expectation. And here it is. The show is clocking in at 30 minutes or so, give or take. Can't wait to hear what you think. And a quick note, here we go. There won't be PlayStation hardware or business-focused updates in this show. We're focusing on great games set to come out in the months ahead. That's it.
And they detail, they're going to do deep dives on 10 games, coming to PS4 and PS5, new game announcements, and updates on third-party and indie titles that we saw in the last June's PS5 showcase. Great. So no PSVR talk in this show. Cool.
Which I guess is why they did it the way they did it, but
yes, and I imagine the business focus means no acquisition news as well in this State of Play.
I would imagine that, and probably signaling also there. No financials.
Numbers. Yeah, those things that really make an appearance, I think, at State of Play. They don't discuss numbers to a great degree or length at State of Play, but. Okay, there's a lot to unpack with this, with today's news. I feel like I'm not sure. Let's go with the easiest one we can tackle. I think that's Days Gone PC. I think that's a good beefy thing to get into. I feel I like Sony's approach when it comes to putting their exclusive games on PC because they allow their audience. Their community to enjoy their games on their consoles. They allow it to have its sales run in a natural course. This game has been discounted to as little as $20. It is now on the PS Plus collection for PS5 owners. So I think for the most part, it's run its course sales-wise on the PlayStation consoles.
Right.
It can now find a new audience with a new player base on PC at, I expect, full price when it launches on, on PC.
We'll see about that, yeah.
And it's no detriment to their audience, because I think when Jim was talking about there wasn't much of a backlash to Horizon coming on to PC, it's for a similar reason. Is the PS owners have enjoyed it for many, many years. It is now a good time to shift that over to PC, tap that marketplace, get those sales, get those resources, those big bucks. And, you know, if it means someone playing Days Gone on PC sees a Days Gone 2 on a PS5 someday, maybe they may buy a PS5. So, you know, I love this game so much on the PC, I'm not going to wait anymore and buy a PS5. I'll buy this PS5 now.
Yeah. You know, it's a delicate balance, because they're almost doing half of what their competition does. Like, they're not going all the way with it, you know?
Right.
And I think
it's the best of both worlds. Sort of.
Yeah. That, like, sort of is right, because
right.
What I feel like what Xbox nails with this is when something comes out from Xbox, which is a rare, like every sixth blood moon, they'll come out with like the thing, right? And but when it happens, when it happens, we'll know, no matter what, that whether you have an Xbox or a PC, you can play it together with your friends.
Right.
And I think that that is the thing that Xbox has always done better. It's like, it's the better place to play with your friends. Period. End of discussion. Xbox Live is better than PSN. It always will be. It unless Sony decides, hey, this is terrible, we're going to start from scratch. And everybody will be like, okay, please don't screw it up. Please don't make us use our cell phones.
Nintendo.
That's just where it's at. And so when you look at Microsoft and you look at their approach, like, that's the advantage of it, is saying, play with your friends. Doesn't matter. We're publishing it. We're going to get your money. It is what it is. With this approach that Sony's doing, it's good for us early adopters. It's good for us, Sony diehards. It's good for us. It's good for PC gamers who have all of those other games that they could play anyway. And then they're like, hey, you know, I missed this game, let me give it a go. Yeah, it's cool. But, you know, I feel like it's always going to have a slight stigma because of what Sony is known for, what PlayStation is known for is exclusive. So they're going to have to shift their tone over what they're proudest of. Are they proudest of their first party exclusives, or are they going to push that you buy Sony because of their first party studios? And wherever you go, whether it's PC or PS5, you're getting the best games out there, period. Because that's what Sony does. Like, they make that's what they're proud of. Those are the games that they put out. So I want to keep my eyes really, really close to this, because I want to see how their messaging is going to start to change.
I think it's all going to depend on what sort of games start releasing on PC, because they, you know, in this interview, Jim mentioned a slate of PS1 games. PS first party games headed to PC. Now, I don't think that we're going to see God of War 2 launching day one PS5 and PC. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And you and I both know. But I feel this is going more towards the older library. Like, I could see a Bloodborne launching at some point on PC. Will we see a Spider-Man on PC? I don't know. Will God of War PS4 OG come on PC? I don't know. But I feel it's all going to lie with what kind of games they're releasing on the PC. Horizon was a good model because Horizon was a new IP, had a huge audience on PlayStation, and got a big audience on PC. So a lot of people who heard about that game wanted to play that game, critically acclaimed game. They rushed and bought it in a broken state that it was on PC. Days Gone doesn't have that same cachet as the Horizon, I imagine. It launched on PlayStation in a really weird state. It was a little bit buggy. It got better over time. The PS5 patch is great for it right now. And if that's what we're playing on the PC, fantastic. If the sales are there, it's yet to be seen. I'm not sure, again, if it carries that same that magic that the Horizon does. So, again, it's
we'll see. We'll see. But I think,
you know,
I
what
think for them, it's kind of dumb if they don't start thinking about road mapping all of their games onto it onto PC.
It's a safe choice for Sony. Let's put it that way. If they had to choose, what can we put of our first party lineup on the PC to follow up Horizon? This is a really safe choice for them.
Yeah.
It's not like this be-all, end-all Spider-Man level God of War IP that they're putting on PC. That it doesn't define PlayStation like Kratos does. Like Spider-Man now does in a lot of ways for PlayStation. Days Gone, cool. It works on PC.
I would be legitimately shocked if God of War is not on PC by November.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Lock that prediction right in.
I think that, you know, they don't do DLC. They don't do like expansions. They built the game, and that's it. So you've had what, 3 years now?
It's been a while. Yeah, 2018. Yes, so was when that game came out.
You know, and then you'd be like, Ragnarok's coming. Get that PS5.
Mm-hmm. So to move on from that, VR, cool. I love my PSVR.
We'll
a new one's coming next year. Cool.
We'll probably know more about.
I'm all about the software.
At the end of the year, probably the Game Awards or something.
It sounds like it's being reimagined in a really big way. The PSVR. They mentioned the controllers, like exploring how it could look differently on its next iteration. I'm all about the single cable aspect of it because that little box is annoying as shit on the PSVR. I don't care for it. It's bulky, just kind of there. So a single plug and play here, put this in your system. I mean, I'm sad we're going to get like a true wireless version of this thing, which are things we all really want from PSVR.
Yeah.
But okay, if it's down to one cable, all right, it's less clunky, I guess. I'm into that. But again, it's not until next year anyway. So, and state of play. You want to touch on this a little bit? What do you think? What do you want to see from this thing on Thursday?
Kena? Is that the name of the game?
Yes. Kena.
Kena.
That is the only indie game I'm concerned with. Oh, wait. And that Devil Inside game. Remember that game?
Yes.
That they showed?
Yes.
That game looks really neat.
Oh, the Housemarque game.
Yes. Returnal.
I want to see Returnal, and I want to see like what that gameplay loop is. Because like I kind of know what it is, but I want to know like how it ties into story. I want to know if I'm getting a roguelike arcadey third person shooter, or if I'm getting a Sony first party story game that has roguelike elements. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I want to know.
That makes sense. You know what I'd love to see, but we're probably not going to see it? And that's more Final Fantasy 16. It is a big third-party game.
It's true.
I don't know. I feel like if that was there...
What happened to Deep Down?
Oh, fuck you. Why would you mention that game to me? That was like at the first PlayStation 4 conference. Uh-huh. What happened to Deep Down, he says? Shut up. Oh, wait. We should mention one last thing. Talk about game showcased in June. And also in this little interview, Gran Turismo 7 was pushed back till next year.
Yes, I mentioned that.
You did mention that. So, yeah, okay, cool. I don't mind it. I mean, I feel like...
That's not a game I'm crazy.
Listen, about, so. We're living... this is my be-all, end-all remark for this is we're living in a post-cyberpunk world. so we can't bitch and moan anymore about game delays. And this game had no official date. It just had, I think, did they even give it a release window of 2021 when it was announced? They may have. I'm not sure.
Yes. Now it's 2022. But,
right. So for a game that we saw very little on.
What was the other game that was delayed today? They sent out a Cyberpunk-like card.
Bloodlines 2. Bloodlines,
that game looks awesome.
That wasn't even, they dropped a developer for that game. That was really, yeah, it's like, oh, those guys that were working on this game, yeah, we fired them. So we can't give you a new date, so we're going to return your pre-orders. We're taking refunds now, guys. That's just also, sad.
Speaking of studio closures and all that stuff, there was a lot more hubbub. This was absolutely incredible. This is not on our doc, but this is something that that I think we should talk about.
Go ahead. I like when you freeball that shit.
I'm just gonna try. I want to find the actual article. There it is. Holy shit! I can't believe this is real. I can't believe this is a real thing. Stadia developers can't fix bugs in their own game.
Oh, this is like them. This is so hype zone. But it's the saddest shit ever.
This is insanity to me. So, as you know, Stadia closed its first-party studios.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All of the people who made their games, or their whatever, game. I mean, this is just insanity. So, Journey to the Savage Planet.
Yes.
Was created by Typhon Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Google acquired Typhon Studios. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2019 and published the Stadia version mm-hmm. of the game.
Right.
Players are saying, hey, this is broken. Can you fix it? Google right. saying, contact the publisher. So they contact right. the publisher of the game, who right. then says, we're not the publishers on Stadia. Google is.
You know Google, right?
You know Google? they're the publisher.
The guys you just spoke to?
They own the Stadia. Like, they... All of the code for the Stadia version of this game, which is unique because mm. it's a Stadia version,
uh-huh.
is owned by Google, yes. stored on Google servers, and Google has no developers to work on it. Zero. Because they fired 300 of them.
Right.
just put this into perspective.
Oh my God.
They... For as this incredible is, this is, Google can be... Alphabet, whatever.
Yeah.
This Stadia experiment is the dumbest shit. The people who are in charge of Stadia, I'm sorry, you might have 8 PhDs and you might score 162 on your fucking IQ test. You are borderline dumbass. I can't
I don't understand is
being made over there.
I just don't understand is, you know, you don't live in a bubble or under a rock. You see what your competitors are doing in a similar space. Like, you know, xCloud exists, you know, Game Pass exists. You have arguably as much money, or if not more so, to fund really big and powerful and amazing shit.
It's insanity.
And this thing crashed and burned, and no one even cares about it, that it crashed and burned.
The people who spent the $300 sure do. and the ones who have been paying $20 a month every
oh my
month
God.
For a year and a half, they sure do.
Dude, like, I got that shit for free, and I played with it one time.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna have a hot take here.
Oh, I love your hot takes. Go ahead. Yeah, sure.
Every time I put the doc up the screen, it makes my face white.
I know.
Really, really white. But
I know.
here's my hot take. Here's mm-hmm. my hot take.
Go ahead.
I think this is worse mm-hmm. than the Ouya.
That is not a hot take. That is what we call accurate.
Now, the reason why I think this is worse than the Ouya is because of how awesome the Stadia service actually is. Like, right. the actual technology involved. But they did nothing. Nothing.
The Ouya, at the very least... you know, only had about $8 million in funding, and it had the right intention and the heart. It was, let's get your mobile games on the TV, which I don't think mobile players, they want their games on their mobile devices. You don't care about playing that stuff on the TV. And the fact that it was an Android-based system that you could hack instantly and make it an emulation box. And, you know, you made a shitty controller, which was ass. And, again, you don't have all the money in the world to do this. Like, you tried, you failed, it's fine.
But you, but also, like, people who adopted that, like, people who did that, they knew what they were buying.
Sure.
Like, they didn't say, this is going to change your life. Look at how amazing this is. It has integration with all of your soul. Like, no.
They like, thought it would.
Google was like, holy shit, were they hyped about this thing. And I knew as soon as they walked out on that stage and they were like, here's what it's going to do eventually. I was like, no, it won't. Mm-hmm. No, it absolutely fucking won't.
You will never get there.
Jesus Christmas. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that really quick. God. Let's move on to the next thing. Talk about that Silent Hill shit. What's going on with that?
Oh my God. And my fucking suffering, Steven.
Let me open another beverage for this one because I feel like this is gonna be,
let me pull up this information because I want to get into this and not talk about this for 5 hours, which I could honestly do at this point. So, okay. If you've been following this podcast, you know I love me some Silent Hill, and the rumors just will not go away. I feel like every other week, I would like to stop talking about this in all honesty, but you won't let me, internet.
No.
You really won't. Okay, so Bluebird Team had an interview with GameIndustry.biz, and they mentioned that for the last year, they've been working on a horror IP with a very famous gaming publisher, quote unquote. They can't say what it is, game or publisher, but when we find out what this project is, we'll be excited about it, is what they're saying. And this led people to say, holy shit, it's Silent Hill. What else could it be? Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at Bluebird Team and the medium specifically, they had the composer for Silent Hill on for that game. So it lends some credence there that why this could possibly be true. Plus, their recent job listings mentioned combat for their next project. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing lacking is some sort of combat or gunplay or melee in their horror games. Now, when this was revealed, some other people came out and said, well, we've heard that, but we have heard other things involving Silent Hill, that there already is a project in the works for more than a year, that Konami signed on a well-known Japanese studio to work on a new Silent Hill, which is a departure from the franchise,
oh, for Christ
as we God. As we know it. So, again, this whole thing will never end. This rumor just won't die, apparently. And it's giving me like a lot of heartache because I love Bluebird Team. I've loved their work, but I do not want them to do a Silent Hill game.
I know what it is, Andy. I've decoded it. I know what it is.
You know what? Yes, tell me. I'm anxious to hear your response. Why? Remedy can fucking do an Alan Wake game.
Nah, they're doing Control 2.
That's what it is. Oh, God. I would rather... They're
the biggest publisher in video games right now.
No. They're not they wouldn't be publishing it, though. Remedy is their own thing. They've gone free. They're free of Microsoft's control.
I know, but doesn't Microsoft own Alan Wake?
No, they retained those rights when they parted ways. That was part of the deal. Right, they were like, we're going to say bye to you.
Well, fuck me then, Andy.
And we want our rights for that fucking franchise. So listen, I'm trying to get in my head what else this could be. Fatal Frame comes to mind. That's a Nintendo thing. So I can't see this maybe being that. I feel like this is going to be a Silent Hill, and it sort of breaks my heart because it all comes down to be careful of what you wish for. Because I've been wishing for a Silent Hill game for a very long time. If it's going to be by Bluebird Team, I don't think I want it. because they're good at horror, but they can't do this kind of horror.
The next time you say to yourself, man, I really want a new Silent Hill, play Book of Memories. Okay.
Oh, fuck me. That game was bad. And that's way forward, dude. Yeah. That's a good team.
Play Book of Memories.
That's a good developer.
So and they made that. And they get rid of those and they made that desires garbage quickly. BlizzCon happened.
But you have to understand.
I'm moving on. The show's running late. There's only two of us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Through the show on time.
Go ahead.
All right. BlizzCon happened. Blizzard is remaking Diablo 2. Cool. 3D graphicals. Mm-hmm. Really looks good. But Diablo 4 had some news. The Rogue class. A Rogue, Annie. I'm very excited.
That looked really, really neat.
Yeah. Cloak and Dagger Rogue. Yeah, that looks really dope. World of Warcraft Shadowlands first major update is called Chains of Domination. That's a thing happening. Here's something that just fucking confuses me. What are we doing in this world where the Burning Crusade expansion is coming to WoW Classic? Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the purpose of WoW Classic to get rid of all the things that changed WoW? So
now you're talking nonsense, Steven.
I just am I? I mean, I am.
I feel like you had a slight like aneurysm but when you were going like into this.
So it's
like burning, I saw your eye twitch.
It's Burning Crusade Classic. So okay. I mean, I know the people playing Classic right now really like it, but whatever. Hearthstone's new expansion is called Forged in the Barrens, so we're going to get a new Hearthstone expansion. I fell off Hearthstone hard. I can't get back.
Yeah.
People are too good. Like, even in the noob lobbies, I'll like be like, okay, here we go, and they're like, bam, 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 dead. I'm like, okay, good. The Blizzard Arcade Collection is now out on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. That has, what does that have? That has... Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn. In enhanced versions, by the way.
And I do like Blackthorn. It's actually a pretty good game.
That was from the opening ceremony. I don't know what else is going on there, but that's the article I found. And honestly, aside from Diablo, like, I have no other interest in any Blizzard properties. So
you and me both, my friend. That's my biggest takeaway from that was Diablo 2 was my main focus. From that whole situation. I saw some of the Overwatch 2 concept art.
Yeah.
There's like a skill tree now that I saw as well going on in there.
Yeah. You know what I'm really looking forward to?
What?
The Sims Classic.
Oh, God.
Where they just bring it back to the original Sims, and then they'll make, guess what? Sims 2. And they just do that again. Sims 2 Pets Classic.
So that's they're going to get you.
All right. The last thing here was we had a Nintendo Direct the day after last week's show. We had some ideas of what we were hoping to see, what we might see, and we saw none of it. So,
right. And was it worth it is the main question of the day here.
Go down the list quick. I mean, we don't have a lot of time here. So,
right.
The biggest news was what?
Splatoon 3 was the one of the
I understand Splatoon news. Is a big seller, but when Mario Kart is as a biggest seller as it is, and you refuse to put out the next Mario Kart, why the fuck do we have Splatoon 3?
Because Steven, don't you understand?
No,
Splatoon 2 sold so well, so we're going to give them Splatoon 3, and Mario Kart 8 still sells so let's not give them Mario Kart 9.
None of this makes sense.
That's how the equation works.
Why are we getting Skyward Sword remake? Why are we getting Mario 3D, whatever, Bowser's Fury? Like, why do we get those, but we get Splatoon 3? Like, you could just add to Splatoon 2. It's literally that kind of game. You don't have that kind of game. And now you do, where you could just milk the Splatoon 2 titty for all it's worth with a million DLCs and add-ons. But
You know what the best part for me was, Steven, that whole show?
What was the best part?
was when the guy was like, oh, you want Breath of the Wild 2 information? Fuck you. Here's Skyward Sword HD instead. Goodbye.
That's essentially what happened, too.
Pyra Zelda's Zelda's Mithra? 30... Oh, yeah, there was... Oh, I did call that Smash reveal. That was one thing I said.
Smash character. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Sword Boys and Girls.
Yeah! Sword Ladies!
I have never in my entire career of following Nintendo have seen more people completely not give a flying fuck about
the
sort of these characters. Like, Smash characters usually come with, like, either tons of rage or...
Just so much
jubilance.
Like,
this was so much. Okay.
The thing is, like, how do you follow up Sephiroth as a reveal? You can't. You can't top that reveal. But I feel bad for Nintendo fanboys and girls because they gobble a lot of this shit up. And I'm sitting here wondering, like, this was a very mediocre presentation. I'm watching this unfold. Skyward Sword, in my opinion, one of the worst Zelda games ever made. It's meh all around.
I've never played it. I reserve all. The only thing to do is waggle.
Oh, they have actual controls now.
Yes,
and you can pay for that Sword and Shield Joy-Con stuff. That's kind of fun. Spend some money on that thing. But one of the worst Zelda games ever made. Really uninspired boss designs. You know, bad controls when it first came out. The story's kind of to be honest, as an origin story. And you're going to charge me $10 more than the original Wii version of this game.
Oh, I don't care about charge whatever.
Doesn't even look HD to me.
No, it looks like
I was watching that thing. Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
In that whole show.
Please say it.
Project Triangle Strategy.
Oh, yes.
Was the only thing.
We're going to get there.
Yes.
It wasn't the only thing for me because I am...
Okay.
I am rock hard over Mario Golf Super Rush.
Oh, Mario Golf.
I love Mario Golf. I think Mario Golf is one of their best franchises that they completely underutilize. Mm-hmm. Love Mario Golf. Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us 2 is coming to Nintendo Switch.
The Nips, rock hard.
That's what I saw when I saw fucking Mario Golf.
Project Triangle Strategy, which please don't make this Project Octopath Traveler, like where the name just keeps getting used and then it's the name, because this name sucks. It sucks.
Look, Octopath Traveler, I can see that as a title, but you can't call this thing at the end of the day Triangle Strategy. It sounds so dumb. It's like some weird Milton Bradley board game shit that was from the 90s or whatever. Let's play Triangle Strategy.
Action, but look out for the popping triangle. What was that game? Concentration. Wait.
Oh
no. What was
I was gonna say? Sorry.
No. What was the one where it had like you had a timer and you had to get all the shapes in the holes.
That then, may have
otherwise
been.
Otherwise, it would pop out all the game, all the triangle. I think it was called Concentration.
Oh, Trouble.
No, it wasn't Trouble. Trouble was the one.
No, it was it was yellow and blue, right? It was blue board, yellow pieces.
Wait.
I think it's Trouble.
I'm thinking of Sorry.
Blue board.
Sorry. Yellow. And then there was Trouble. Was it Trouble?
Well, Sorry was the thing, a little dome in the middle, no?
I think it was Concentration.
Press.
I think I'm thinking of Concentration.
Maybe it was Concentration.
We will never know.
Well, no, but yes, this game did make me rock hard, is what I'm trying to say when I saw it. I just love how
Hey, Google.
Oh, God.
What is the board game Concentration? No, it's not Concentration.
Look up Trouble.
Trouble.
I think it's Trouble.
Game. No, it's not Trouble. It's not Trouble. Trouble's the one with all the things in the.
I can't see what that is.
Perfection. Perfection.
Oh, thank you, chat. Thank you so much for the answer. That's what you're here
for. That's the one. Perfection. With all the shapes, and then it like buzzes and kicks all the shapes out.
Got it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Operation,
How did we get to Milton Bradley?
Milton Bradley, triangle game. But yeah, the game did look pretty nice. I want that game that comes out in a year from now.
Monster Hunter Rise had some news. Rampage story event. Fall Guys is coming to Switch.
You know what? There was one more thing that got me excited in this whole thing. It was that, what was it called? Neon White. It was like a first person card, you're in heaven fighting demons thing.
Yes, that was the car. Yes, what was that? That was called
Neon White. Yes,
Neon White. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we saw Bravely Default 2, Tales from the Borderlands, Goblins
Resurrection.
Okay.
We also had
The Ninja Gaiden Collection was also featured as
right. And then there was the Animal Crossing Mario items, which are going to be cool. Mm-hmm.
And don't forget about Stubbs the Zombie, Steven.
Stubbs the Zombie, yes.
Also a good one.
Dope. You know what? DC Superhero Girls Teen Power got a lot of shit. A lot of shit. People are like, this looks like trash. You know what?
It's not for you.
It's not for you. And if that gets me and my daughter sitting down playing video games, it's not for you. I'm all for it.
What was that?
I'm going to play it. Listen, it looks adorable.
I can safely say, all right, that looks cute, but I'm not going to play that. But I understand it's not for me looking at it, obviously.
Yeah. There was the Knockout City coming to everything. I think it's
awesome. Oh, yes.
Right now. It's Xbox beta is be signed up. You could sign up for that now, but it's going to come to Switch as well. Also, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this,
mm-hmm.
but the day of the Nintendo Direct,
as of the day,
uh-huh. nobody knows who's developing DC Superhero Girls Teen Power.
Wait, what?
Not a single person on the internet. There's no information on who's developing it. Only that Nintendo's publishing it.
How is that real?
I don't know.
How does
that was as of the day after. So I it could have changed by now, but
how does no one know?
No one knows. The entire it says an as yet unannounced developer.
Do you want to hear some scary shit, Steven? Some really scary shit?
Yeah.
So I did a cursory search online for any sort of Metroid Prime 4 anything information. And I checked Retro Studios' Twitter page.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for as late as December of last year for someone to do boss AI design or some shit. Okay. And I'm wondering, are we ever going to get this game?
No.
Is this game even close to being even real at this point?
Star Wars Hunters is an online game, free to play Star Wars game coming to Switch.
Yes. Yes.
The description's interesting. Build a team from a cast of unique and all new Star Wars characters, from daring bounty hunters to heroes of the rebellion and Imperial stormtroopers. Yeah, those original Imperial stormtroopers. Those so unique stormtroopers. Face off against squads and arenas based on the iconic Star Wars settings, set between Star Wars Return of the Jedi and Star Wars The Force Awakens. The free-to-play Star Wars Hunters launches in 2021. So, whatever. Cool new Star Wars game. When I think online multiplayer games, I don't think of the Switch, unfortunately, because good lord. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a thing that's happening. Facebook question of the week, Andy.
Before you go on, what was your overall thought about the Direct? I thought it was kind of eh.
It was eh, but Triangle fucking...
No, there were some things in it. Concentration.
Trouble. That looked dope. Mario Golf is dope. Some updates for some good games. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, very excited.
I was very lackluster for
Skyward
me
Sword
overall.
Thing kind of sucked. Facebook question of the week is, which video game character would you want to be best friends with?
Oh, well, then I feel like I just answered this very same question. Not
a
too long ago.
Similar question. Yes. Christina says, that's hard. Horchafont Greystone from Final Fantasy 14.
I wouldn't know.
This is the best answer in this entire chat, though. Brandon says Boogerman. That is 100% correct. Boogerman would be such a fun thing. Miss Envy says Dorian from Dragon Age Inquisition. Patrick Hickey Jr.
That's a stellar choice.
Who's going to be a guest on our Retro Game Club Patreon exclusive episode that we're recording right after this, says Diamond Dallas Page in WCW NWO Revenge.
Oh my God.
That's a fantastic.
But wait, is that a real person? Yeah. Or is it fictional? It's fictional.
The character of Diamond Dallas Page is fictional, but
okay. Yeah. So that's whatever. Fine. I get it.
Daniel has put a GIF of Charizard.
Love it.
My sister-in-law says Princess Peach, the golf variant specifically.
Cute. Wow, that is very specific. She got to explain that somehow. I wonder why that.
I think she likes the little skirt thing.
Right. But she carries her own golf clubs to smack people around with. Is that what it is? She could throw it
down.
Crafty
gamer lady puts Aloy.
Aloy.
That would be a very difficult friendship. I would have to explain a lot to Aloy.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
she seems very troubled as well.
I understand you know about robot dinosaurs, but they're based on like real animals. Here's.
Right.
All right. Also, shower, please. Right. I imagine she stinks. I'm sorry, but she cannot smell good. Aloy cannot smell good.
But which character would smell good in a video game? I feel like they all smell like shit. If they're like, would Nathan Drake smell you better than Aloy would?
Yes. Because Nate at least has showered once. Like, at least he has showered and applied deodorant body spray.
You know who would smell great in a video game? Who's Norman Reedus from Death Stranding, because you always see him showering in the game.
He's always showering.
You can make sure he smells minty fresh. That's what you do. You get that lovely ash out of him, too.
You know who I bet smells really good?
So good.
Cooking Mama.
Mm. Yeah.
She probably always smells like some delicious.
Always smells delicious.
Delicious food. Andy, did anybody email us the Hype Fam Hype member of the week? Did anybody email us? Check.
I'll give you one guess.
The answer is no. That's going to bring us to the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow us on social media, we are at @Duel_Screens on Twitter. And now we're just at Duel Screens on Instagram. That's right. I got the name change. I am at @BatchL27. Andy's at PantsGuy. And you can follow Taylor at It's Purger. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/DS podcast. Watch our show live every Tuesday, 9 p.m. on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams and sub to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Andy, who do we have on the Dual Screens podcast this Friday?
Oh my God. We're talking to P-Cube. Galgun Returns. That was a really fun discussion. I love that episode.
What's unique about that?
Did you hear it yet?
Some of it. So Galgun is a game where you shoot panties and boobies.
It's so much more than that, Steven.
I understand. When you're looking at the game, it is about using like some sort of water gun or whatever to shoot anime panties and anime boobies. And who is your guest?
Our guest was the marketing and product manager for that game from P-Cube, Sophia George.
Yeah.
And we had a great conversation about sex in video games and fan service games and anime titties. A very well-rounded discussion overall.
Well-rounded.
Yes, well-rounded. Like the boobies and the buttocks of the anime titties.
Things do get a little hairy down there in that episode.
They do.
Yes.
Best sales pitch. It's a gay guy and a woman talking about anime titties.
And
that's it.
Specifically that shooting anime.
That is the pitch. That is the pitch.
I'm just setting expectations.
It is
here.
The best. It'd be the best hour and a half of your life. It was a long. It went longer than usual, but it's seriously. It was her first podcast ever.
What I listened to was very good. Like, it had no business being that good.
There was a lot of substance there. A lot of substance.
Yeah.
I feel like the deepest chats happen with the most sleaziest games on the surface anyway. But that's how you make it real. You know, you got to keep it real in those conversations.
Indeed. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, viewers. Live in the viewers. This has been Crossplay Podcast. Thank you. And as always, please be excellent to each other.